La 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 la.
Hey Josie, what did you get for Christmas this year?
I got an episode of Mixed Nuts from Rhino's Youth Radio.
I got an Xbox.
La 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 la.
Hey! You hear the word holiday a lot this time of the year. What does it actually mean? What holidays do you celebrate and how?
This month on Youth Radio, we explore the significance or insignificance of this holiday season.
Santa was born out of the snow, but the thing about it is he was just a little baby. Like mind-wise, but in real life he was this huge man in a red suit. So he would walk around and be like, "Grr," and he didn't know what he was doing. And everyone thought it was like this old man who was like really confused. So, you know, no one paid him any attention. And then he started doing really bad things, you know. And at one point he went to this restaurant, right? Yeah. And he saw these socks laying out, and he's like, and he goes in the fireplace and grabs some coal, and he doesn't know it's hot because he's like a baby. And he's like, oh, and then he shoves it in his socks. Like, screw that. And I guess the people there were actually pretty bad people. After that, right, yeah, he began to enslave reindeer. Now, this story is something else, I'll tell you that. After the whole sock incident, they chased him out of the town, village, city thing, hotel, with a broom, like one of those really bad ones that I like smell like peppermint, not peppermint, cinnamon, sorry. And they're like, get out, you naughty little, naughty. And then he was out in the forest like an abominable snowman, and he was like, yeah. So then he found these things, they're like majestic creatures, and they had one horn on their head. And he was like, I can't use those for anything. I mean, I lied. He began to learn how to speak. Just that very moment, he saw a unicorn and he's like, I can speak. And so he was like, yeah, I can't really ride a unicorn. Those don't fly. So he saw these other things and he was like, they have two horns on their heads with more horns coming out of the horns. Let's use those. And so he christened them reindeer. Because the day it happened, it was raining. And he was like, oh dear. And he's like, reindeer, oh, I'm a genius. So then he went very far and wide. No, he just went very far. Up to the North South Pole. It could be either one, we do not know. It's definitely the South Pole. So he's sitting there in the South Pole, North Pole. And he's like, oh, I really wish I had some other person in a fat red suit to come join me and cook me meals like every other 20 seconds. So he went out into the snow. And boom, there comes this lady, like this fat old lady who didn't have a beard, but she looked the same as him, minus the beard. And she was really good at cooking. And she was like, ah. And he was like, ah. And they were all really happy about meeting each other. And so he went back inside of this cabin of snow, because that's all he could build, because it's the South North Pole. After all this time, he was like, you know, I feel really bad about putting hot coals in these socks. He was like, what if I did something good? Mrs. Claus was all like, is it Claus? Never mind. So Miss Claus was like, rawr, which translates from baby talk to human to, yeah, go ahead, why not? So he was like, grabbed some paper and like some bow thing, I don't know, and then some stuff that stuck to other stuff. And then he grabbed some random clump of snow and he wrapped it in paper and went on a reindeer and ran over Grandma on the way. And then he gave this gift to some random kid and they're like, oh man. Lucky thing I had a tree in my house for this to go under, and then that's how it all began.
Hello, I would like to tell you my favorite holiday memory. One year when I was just a little boy, I wrote to Santa Claus and asked him for a puppy because my puppy had gone away and been replaced by a full-grown dog. And I wrote Santa and I said, "Dear St. Nicholas, please bring me a new puppy because my puppy is gone and all I have is this big dog." One day later, I got a letter back from Santa, and that day was Christmas Day. And it said, "Devin, what are you, stupid? Your puppy isn't gone. He's just been replaced by a beautiful full-grown dog. He's grown into that dog. It's still the same dog. He still loves you. And I think if you look deep in your heart, you will see that you still love him too." And that's the day I learned the true meaning of Christmas, puppies.
So my most embarrassing holiday moment was when I was like 4 or something, and I got, I don't even know what it was, in a cereal box, not a cereal box, an oatmeal cylinder. So I got this, I don't even know what it was, and I opened up the oatmeal, I opened the wrapping paper around the oatmeal cylinder, and I was like, "I got oatmeal for Christmas!" And then I yelled up the chimney, "Thank you, Santa!" But it was actually not oatmeal, it was just an oatmeal cylinder, and there was something inside it that was my real present.
I have an unusual holiday tradition of having to hide all of my wrapping paper and or gifts, because my dog knows as soon as we put up the tree that everything that we're going to do from then on with wrapping paper is wrapping presents. And he also likes to take any presents that's wrapped and unwrap it because he thinks it's a squeaky toy or a toy for him. And even if we pull out a grocery bag, he'll take it from us and then like run through it to see if there's plastic toys for him. So we have to keep all of our presents hidden until the day of Christmas and then make sure he doesn't find them and then try to unwrap them before he gets them first.
When I go visit my mom in Pennsylvania, I sometimes go to my brother-in-law's house with my sister and to see his family, and it's a good time. But anyway, so before New Year's, my brother-in-law and his family go across the border to Ohio to get fireworks that are illegal in Pennsylvania to set off during New Year's. So the most recent New Year's I remember is that the New Year's ball dropped in New York and whatever. So then after that, we all went outside in the cornfield behind their house, and it was freezing, so cold. And we went out there, and then he and his dad went farther away to set off the fireworks and get them ready. And there were so many, and they were big. Like, they were big fireworks like the ones that you would see on July 4th on, yeah, it's so cool. And they were really loud, and everyone was kind of freaking out because number one, they were illegal, and number two, it's kind of a fire hazard, and people, like, die with fireworks, but I just think that's a really neat tradition that they have every year.
I'm going to talk about my favorite Christmas present ever. One year at Youth Radio, we brought white elephant presents to the station on Saturday, and of course, I was one of the last people to go, but whenever I picked it up, it was this weird block, like small block of wood with a piece of metal on it. And I realized that it was like a stamp, but it wasn't like a normal stamp because it was made of metal, so it was actually quite difficult to stamp with. But it had been something that Liv, who used to be at Rhino's a lot, it was something that Liv had found at our house. And so later on, whenever I tried to print with it, it makes the image of like a girl in a spaceship.
Okay, I'm going to tell a story about my lovey stuffed animal Wordsworth. So I used to live in Arizona with my dad and, like, my family and whatever. And our extended family, so, like, my grandma and my aunt and my cousins used to come visit us in Arizona. And one Christmas, they came out, and we woke up at Christmas, and it was all nice, and we were opening presents. And this was back in the day when, like, me and my cousin Ben, who was obviously a boy, we fought a lot, like, siblings. So, like, any time I would try to give him a hug, he would, like, run away and everything, and it would be really funny. But anyway, it got to me. It was my turn to open a present, and it was just his box. So I unwrapped the wrapping paper, and inside the box was this adorable... If any of you know Lou Rankin stuffed animals, they are... They're kind of, like, white and gray, and their eyes are just, they're so sad, and it's just, like, surrounded by gray fur, and they look so sad, but they're so cute. And so my cousin Ben apparently had picked it out himself. Like, he went in the store and said, "Mom, we need to get this for Kim." And so it was just from Ben, my adorable cousin Ben. So he gave it to me, and he was my age, so this all makes sense, but... So I opened it up, and I was so happy because I was, and I still am, I was obsessed with stuffed animals, and I was just so happy to have this owl, you know? And I just sprang up and got on my feet and went over to hug him and, like, kiss him and everything, but then he, like, ran away, and I swear, we chased each other, or I chased him around the house for, like, 10 minutes trying to hug him because I was so happy about it. And I still have the owl to this day, and he's not very white anymore, he's pretty gray, but... I think he's my favorite Christmas present I've ever gotten. And yeah, thank you, Ben.
I have an unusual holiday tradition. Every year when we were kids, we would decorate the tree, and at the top of the tree, we would always place this little fairy. She was like a little doll that was always wrapped carefully in tissue and put in a box away every year, and we'd unwrap her. And once we'd put all of the decorations and the lights on our tree in the corner of the lounge, we would then get on a chair and place the little fairy on top. And every Christmas Eve, we were told when Father Christmas came down the chimney and... You know, he had his carrot for the reindeer and his mince pies and stuff. When he had to deliver our presents in our stockings, the fairy would fly down from the top of the tree and give Father Christmas a little helping hand and help him with all those little jobs he had to do to deliver our presents. And then they'd hang out for a little bit downstairs and, you know, have a little Christmas drink together. And then we'd come down in the morning... And the fairy was missing. She wasn't on top of the tree. And my mum and dad would say, "Well, she obviously didn't make it back up there last night after hanging out with Father Christmas, so we better find her." So every Christmas morning, we'd have to find where the fairy was. And we'd search around the house for her, and she'd end up, you know, in a lampshade or on top of a cabinet or in the biscuit cupboard, somewhere random. And then we'd place her back on top of the tree. That was a Jones family tradition.
Or is it on?
No, it's
recording. It's on.
What do you know about, what's the difference between American Thanksgiving and Canadian Thanksgiving?
Well, Canadian Thanksgiving, first of all, is much earlier in the year. So it's at the proper time of the harvest, usually. But again, it's usually Canada, so the harvest is much earlier and lamer. And when we do it, it's like much bigger than our actual Thanksgiving because... most of our friends and our family are still in town, and they haven't gone off to visit their friends and family. So, like, a billion people come over, and it's awesome. And that's all I know.
You celebrate Canadian Thanksgiving in America?
Yes, we do. So we're cool like that.
Cool. I'm from Russia, where people celebrate Russian holidays. As an immigrant, as a lot of immigrants do, they pretty much bring their own traditions, holidays here, and we have this whole plethora of holidays that aren't really that native, except, I don't know, Thanksgiving's pretty native because it actually happened here. But Russian New Year's is just a big New Year's party, but it has a lot of the same traditions that an American Christmas would. So, for example, Russians don't celebrate, like, Christmas in the sense that Americans do here, but Russians still have a little tree, and they still have presents, and they still have a Santa Claus figure called Father Frost, who doesn't come through the chimney. He comes through your front door, so you're supposed to, like, leave it open overnight, which is kind of weird. Yeah, you have a big party. The tree you have is generally, like, really small. You just put it on a table because most people live in apartments. People party all night and just recap the whole year. And I don't know. It's just a giant party with a little tree and a bunch of presents.
And do you celebrate that here in the States?
Yes, we do.
How do you modify it? Have you modified things a little bit?
We include Americans at our parties.
That's pretty good.
That's very gracious. Yeah.
Me and my friends, one year we started this annual thing. For some reason, we've called it National Jet Ski Month, but it only happens one weekend, and there's only one jet ski. But for some reason, we created this weekend where we all meet at this, like, lake house, and my folks had a jet ski, and maybe year three of National Jet Ski Month, the jet ski broke. So then at some point, there wasn't even a jet ski, so it was like one weekend in the summer, still called National Jet Ski Month, but we meet up at a lake and just get to hang out and meet up. Especially as you're getting older, it was like less time together and like not seeing each other. So it was like really fun weekend, but it was a really fun way to just kind of create your own holiday.
I have created a holiday. It's mainly celebrated in the summertime. It's National Norwegian or Swedish or just Pan-Scandinavian Black Metal Day. And it occurs when you're driving down a very busy stretch of road with a lot of foot traffic on the sides, and when you see a group of people, and you don't only do it to groups of people so as not to alarm them, you roll down the window and very politely say, "Excuse me, happy Norwegian Black Metal Day." And then they look at you weird, and if they respond positively, you throw in some other thing like, "Have a good one, hail Satan." And then you drive off into the night, wishing them a happy Norwegian Black Metal Day.
And what if you don't get such a warm reaction?
Usually you just roll up the window and don't say anything else. It's a pretty lame holiday when you think about it.
I think it's pretty awesome.
I think it's a good holiday.
What day is it on?
It fluctuates. Mostly whenever you can roll down a window and talk to a group of people. And it has to be a group. I can't emphasize that enough. It has to be a group of people that, like, have to be in a good mood. Like, it has to be a party night, because, you know, you don't want to say something like out of a car window to someone who looks sad or is alone. Yeah, on a Monday afternoon, because, you know, basically you just want to wish people that, you know, that.
So one of my friends is very anti-Christmas, even though she still celebrates it. And we all last year started calling it non-denominational day because she didn't like any other holidays, so we just stuck with that. And this year, we decided to have a gift exchange, but she didn't want to call it like a Santa Claus gift exchange or a Christmas gift exchange. So we printed out a piece of paper with all the instructions, and it is the non-denominational winter figure gift exchange. And basically, we all have to give each other three presents, or the person we get when we draw it out of a hat, we have to give that person a present. But we started telling everyone who we got. So therefore, everyone, by process of elimination, now knows who they have. Or who has them.
Okay, moving on to Festivus, the traditional Seinfeld holiday. To any fans out there, you guys know Festivus is December 23rd. It's an alternative to Christmas. I'm reading straight off the Wikipedia page because I haven't seen this episode of Seinfeld in like over a year, but I was considering celebrating Festivus. So it's a way to celebrate Christmassy stuff without participating in Christmas and commercialism. You do stuff like have a Festivus pole, you show off your feats of strength, you share your grievances that you've had over the year. It's a very, the airing of grievances, yeah. And, Festivus for the rest of us. Festivus for the rest of us.
It seems like maybe they didn't emphasize it a lot in the episode, but the origin within the family of Costanzas, I think, was that they were Jewish and they didn't celebrate Christmas, and his father was kind of pissed off about this, and so he wanted to sort of create his own little pseudo-Jewish Christmas that wasn't Hanukkah.
I don't celebrate Kwanzaa, but I have been learning a little bit about it. And Kwanzaa is a really cool holiday, like a really cool holiday. That's surprisingly new. It was made in 1966, and it is a really cool holiday. And I think one of my favorite parts about it, it doesn't have any religious ties. And also it's really cool because it's about unity. It's about like culture and stuff. And, like, a lot of it has to do with, like, getting back to your roots as a person.
Well, because my parents are divorced and my dad lives in Seattle, I celebrate the actual day of Christmas in Bloomington with my mom and my brother. And then the day after, we hop on a plane and go to Chicago and meet my dad. And then we get to see the city lights and everything's wonderful. And we decorate the apartment with lights and stuff, but it's kind of cool to have two Christmases that are so different, where one's, like, very traditional, and you have the tree and, like, a big meal and stuff, and then you go to the city, and it's, like, we sometimes have a plant, and then, you know, we'll go out for dinner, and it's, both of them are really nice, but they're also very different.
My favorite part of having, like, multiple Christmases or birthday wasn't really that you always got big presents, but the fact that usually you would get a lot of candy from multiple people. And that always ended with a stomachache and often throwing up after a while, but it was totally worth it. Like, you get, like, four stockings sometimes, and it's just filled with candy.
For a long time, even though my family is not religious at all, was not raised any denomination, certainly not Catholic, I had a very, very, very vague idea of what Easter was actually supposed to be about in the first place. And yet, it was easily one of the best days of the year, because the candy on Easter is of a very specific and delicious kind. You get those little marshmallow things. The looking for the candy, the hidden candy, is the most enjoyable thing in the world. But as soon as I realized what Easter was actually about, and I was too old to be given candy and treated like a kid, totally worthless. But up until that point, it was the best holiday. Second to Halloween.
The date is December 20th, year 2012. Tomorrow, December 21st. The question we have posed before us today is, if the world were truly to end tomorrow, What would you be doing?
If the world ended tomorrow, if it were actually going to happen, then I would probably like shave my head or do something really ridiculous, like something that is really empowering that I wouldn't really feel the repercussions of later. I could just do something crazy, like eat 10 gallons of chocolate ice cream and stuff like that. I'm sure if it actually did happen, then I wouldn't do those things, but I'd like to think that it would be fun to do those things and I'd actually do them.
For me, I'd probably just like try to tell my friends that they're good friends, I guess. And then I would want to travel because that's like my only life goal. So I'd be like, well, see you guys. And then I would drive wherever I wanted.
I would do not a damn thing different. I would do everything the exact same that I'm doing because I like what I'm doing right now. And I'm happy where I am as a human being and as an individual. So I would just have a normal day. And if it ends, it ends. What can you do?
I feel the same way as Adam. You can't live your life in fear, you know, and I feel like it's a waste of energy and emotion to prepare for something that, you know, is really pessimistic and really negative. Like, I would rather just not worry about it, though I am worried about it, I'm not going to lie. For some reason, a couple months ago, I was like, okay, I'm going to just hoard a little bit of water and a little bit of canned goods. I just never got around to it, so I don't think it's going to happen, which is probably good for my mental health.
I think I'm a morbid person, so I'd just be like, oh, okay. If I found out the world was going to be end, I'd kind of be like, oh, this is going to be interesting. I don't know. I guess, like, if this was a situation where, like, yeah, I mean, if only I knew for certain that it would be the end of the world, I guess, I don't know, I'd go from volunteering at a daycare part-time to volunteering at a daycare full-time. I'd like to spend my last days playing with kids on the playground.
Well, if the world were to be ending tomorrow, I feel everybody should have somebody to rely on because a lot of our resources are depleting, so it's not a lot of things we can depend on except for each other. So I feel everybody should have somebody they can lean on if things were to go wrong.
Want to take a second and talk about the likelihood of the world ending and a lot of the predictions that have gone on about it. At my school, we had somebody from IU, Professor Quetzil Castaneda, I think was his name, and he came and talked to us about a lot of the misconceptions as far as the end of the world. First off, one of the funny things about this movement is what I would call it, that a lot of the pictures of Mayan calendars are not Mayan calendars at all. They're Aztec calendars. So that's where they get the first thing wrong in a lot of ways. The second thing is that there are different types of calendars, and this one has a shorter measure of time. And the main example he used that it was like looking at the calendar for 1 year and then saying because the calendar stops at the end of the year, that the world is going to end. So it's just a completely nonsensical idea behind it. There's absolutely no truth, no facts, or anything in that regard behind.
I agree. And actually, according to the Mexican calendar, because it's actually older than the Mayans or the Aztecs, the world has ended 5 times. But the last time that it ended, I'm pretty sure, was right around the time that Cortez came to Mexico. Which is interesting because, I mean, okay, the world didn't end, but really the world kind of ended for everybody in North America. So it's definitely true that, you know, time is going to keep going on, but something weird might happen. You never know.
I think that even though nothing will happen, someone's going to do something really dumb, like tomorrow, because someone does believe out there that it is going to happen. So then they'll be like, oh, yeah, well, we got to, like, do some sort of horrible thing or even just do something really crazy and then it'll be all over the news.
Something I'm just surprised people haven't talked about very much is that there have been, in the past, I think, year, there have been a lot of people doing stupid and tragic things. I'm surprised no one has attributed, you know, the whole end of the world hype to that. Not necessarily that it's because it's the end of the world, but that influenced their decision to do these awful things.
Using the movie Volcano as an example, and I'm very sorry to do this
There's like this scene where everyone's stealing from places because it's like, they can't catch me, everyone's dying anyway. And like, yeah, well, it's just like funny because I can see someone actually being like, hey, I should just steal stuff and just like break in everywhere.
What? It's tomorrow in Australia, right?
Yeah.
And it's something in the sky right now.
Shut up.
It is.
What?
It's on the computer. We have breaking news.
No way.
I don't believe you.
What?
Oh, I'm scared.
That's another thing. Like,
I hope it's an alien ship, man. Please be an alien ship.
It's not on New York Times.
If I'm gonna go out.
Not on New York Times.
So the hoax is starting.
Yeah.
Check CNN.
So, breaking news at Youth Radio, according to the internet, there are aliens in Australia, or at least glowing rings in the sky. We'll let you know more about what's going to happen as it happens.
I was just going to say, when I was little, actually not so little, probably sixth grade, yeah, I had a lot of anxiety problems, and I used to think the world was going to end like once every 1.5 to 2 months, and I would like freak out and cry and stuff because I'd be like, the sky looks funny, man. Jesus is like, or like, God's got it in for us. Like, look at the sun through the trees, it looks freaky out. And then I would just like freak out, not do my homework, cry all night. And then I would like finally just like cry myself to sleep, and then I'd wake up and be like, oh, okay.
I'm a pretty genial fellow. All around, I'd say. When I was in seventh grade, I was caught by surprise, and I went through a month of depression. And this experience was unknown to me. And I did have that similar strange, like, end of the world, like, paranoia. And it was really bizarre because I would have dreams about it for that month in seventh grade. And I think it was probably because seventh grade was literally the worst time in my life and anyone's. and I think when it's like a psychological thing for people, it's like, well, I feel bad, and so it almost makes people feel better to know that there's like an end, but they also don't have to do it.
I wanted to ask, how would everybody describe, what is the best way for the world to end? Like, how would you want to die if the world actually did end tomorrow?
Definitely aliens. Like, that's not a question. Actually, the only thing that beats aliens is if dinosaurs came back. That would be the only thing cooler. Or, even better, if aliens had saved dinosaurs from while they were on our planet and then came back hundreds of millions of years later to kill us with them.
That sounds terrifying.
That would be so cool. I mean, okay, if we were gonna go out. So if we were gonna go out, aliens plus dinosaurs. Easy peasy.
I actually think that it'd be cool if like every wild cat got like 10 times its size. And they were just like pouncing everywhere. And even if they're just trying to play with you, it would like crush everything and kill everybody, and then also like the ones that did want to eat you would just like eat you right away.
I think I'd like it if everyone in the world except for me went to, you're all gonna lock me up for saying this, everyone in the world went to like a special wonderful place and then only I was left, and then odd like gooey black spider creatures came out of the ground and tortured me for all eternity. So yeah.
Your preferred way?
I think that we should all the Rubik's cubes in the world should turn into Hellraiser boxes, and we should all get sucked into Hellraiser. That'd be a cool way to never die, actually. The thing for me is that I remember all the crazy, outlandish predictions that were supposed to happen in 2000. I mean, there was just, it didn't matter what their stance was. If they were religious, Jesus was going to come back. If they were just paranoid, then maybe zombies were going to come. Or the computers were all going to crash. And when the computers crash, all the bank accounts would be erased. And then there'd be pandemonium, and then we're all going to die. Power is going to go out. There was no end to all the different hypotheses. And literally nothing happened. No one freaked out. There was no bombings. There was nothing happened. So that's my take on the whole thing.
I think that
the world is not going to end unless God says it's going to end. You know, like in 2003, they said the world was going to end, but then, like, it didn't end. But it was like a blackout. A few years later, they said it was going to end. But, like, if it was going to end, it would have been ended. You know, God only says it's going to end when, you know, when it's time for it to end. They think that since it's been rainy and it's snow, everybody making a big deal of it like it's going to really end. If it end, then, oh, well, you know, God, basically, to me, if he wanted the world to end, he would have just, like, let it end right then and there. The world's not going to end. We're going to live other days. We're going to live plenty more years and let the year, you know, continue on as life. Yeah.
If you read St. Paul in the Bible, he talks about how he's positive the world's going to end like any day now. Like they're talking about like, it's like, don't get married because the world's going to end real soon. Jesus said so. It's going to happen. It's happening real soon. And for hundreds of years after that, all the Christians were like, well, they all told us it was going to end. What's happening? And then they said, well, probably it's the end of the millennium. So then in like the 900s, everyone thought, totally going to end real soon. End of the century. No problem. Lockdown. It's going to happen. Then it didn't happen. Then they were like, well, it's this other millennium. And we went through another 1,000 years of this, and then we were like, oh, no, the Mayan calendar. So, yeah, they just keep changing their story. And no one wants to be consistent. They've been proven wrong about 27 times now. World's not going to end until the sun collides into it in about 67 million years.
Hello, everybody. This is Youth Radio on WFHB, and we're about to go around our little circle here at Rhino's and talk about what we plan or what we'd like to have happen or just what we're looking forward to in the year 2011. So, yeah, here's everybody.
Okay, so the exciting plan for me for New Year's is to get a job, hopefully, start working on, you know, college stuff, and mostly more excited for the summer, you know, considering how cool it was last year. It might be an easy summer as it was, so I'm excited for that and to get out of school, basically. This year, my only New Year's resolution is just reading more, because last year I failed at that. Probably read like 3 books, so.
Think art, make art, sell art. And get a job.
I don't really have any New Year's resolutions because I think they're kind of silly. So I am excited for a couple things. My mom lives in another state, and instead of me flying out there this spring break, she's coming here to see me, and it's going to be really cool because we're going to do lots of things. And we used to live in Indiana, and I get to show her how much has changed. And summer... my sister is going to drive from Pennsylvania here, and she's going to stay 4 days, and it's going to be really exciting because I don't have to fly anymore, and I really dislike flying.
Hi, I'm Jackson, and sorry, what I'm looking forward to in the new year is I'm going to go to a bunch of concerts that I really want to see, going to see Steve Ignorant, and then I'm going to Planet X Fest. I'm looking forward to biking in the summer. Because then I don't have to, like, put, like, 20 million pounds of clothing on when I bike. And I'm looking forward to cold drinks being refreshing outside. And I'm not looking forward to finishing up this year of school. Well, I mean, I'm looking forward to after that's over, but it's going to be, like walking through snow on bloody stumps for the rest of the year, so.
Hi, I'm Nick. I'm looking for this year, I'm looking forward to Gen Con 2011. I missed Gen Con last year, and... that's one big thing. Gen Con is a big nerd fest in Indianapolis that happens once a year. I'm also looking forward to finally getting a job, getting a permit, and then getting my license, and I'm looking forward most of all to seeing my family more often because my cousin, one of my cousins is finally letting her son hang out over at my house, and I think that's going to be fun. So, yeah.
Hi. My name is Sparky, and I work at Rhinos, and a lot of the things that I'm the most excited about are definitely Rhinos-related. Not so much a New Year's resolution, just things I'm looking forward to. I'm excited because we got a grant to put, how many new murals? Seven or eight new murals up on the side of the Rhinos building, which is awesome. And so in the next month, we're going to have that, and I can't wait for that, and I'm really excited about that. And we're going to have a Rhinos art show at Paper Crane Gallery in April. And I'm really excited about that. And I'm excited about graduation, even though it's really sad. And I always get kind of bummed out. But I don't know. It's real exciting when everybody doesn't have to be in high school anymore. And they get to go do cool life stuff. So, yeah. I think that's pretty much the big stuff.
Hi. My name is Philip. And for this next new year, I'm not sure if it's a New Year's resolution. Because I've been trying to do this, like, for most of 2010, and I'm going to continue trying to do it for 2011, but I'm going to really make a special effort to, is to finally release or sell or publicize more of my music or art in whatever way I can, because right now, I don't know, I feel unnoticed, I feel invisible. So what I'm going to start doing very soon is taking my dulcimer and my guitar downtown is busking, and I don't care if I don't make any money at all. I just want people to see me on the street corner and either thinking, whoa, that guy must be really poor, or whoa, that guy is cool, or just enjoying my music. So that's basically all I plan on changing about myself in the new year, but I'll probably change anyway unplanned, just because I do that a lot.
Every year for me, it's about the same thing. I always feel like I could be more productive. So every year I always feel like this need to be productive and whatever I'm working on, more of it, whether it be music or movies or just staying in touch with good friends that I haven't seen or talked to in a long while. And yeah, just kind of settling into good things.
I'm looking forward to going through another year of life again.
I don't know. I pretty much do a lot of cool things, so I don't think I need a resolution. So, it's true. But what I want for the new year is to go to college and, Make art. Yeah. Who's a no?
The first Thanksgiving started out something like this.
There were two young men named Grabbeth and Kenneth.
They each had a pet chipmunk hatched under their belts, and they kept them warm by putting a oyster inside of their pant pockets that yapped, yapped, yapped whenever they went sleeping.
They liked to take baths together.
Grabbeth had a pet turkey named Squirmy.
They were very thankful for the pumpkin pie they'd been given.
Eventually, the townsfolk passed an ordinance that pets were not allowed to own other pets because it got too confusing.
So they had to devise a plan to keep their oysters safe.
They hid their oysters in their beards.
Which they grew very fast because of No Shave November.
But then they got tired of all the oysters yapping.
So they headed to the sea to release them.
And they shaved their beards, and the oysters dropped into the ocean.
And now the oysters were free.
This is a pretty good story. Yeah.
It had nothing to do with Thanksgiving.
No.
All right. So this Halloween, me and my friends were out and about.
Friends and I? Yeah, it's true.
Okay, I'm going to restart. Okay, so this Halloween, me and my friends were out and about doing as people do on Halloween. We weren't trick-or-treating. We trick-or-treated in one house, and we didn't have costumes. I had a camera. I had my camera, so they asked me what I was, and I said I was a photographer. My friend had on shades and a fire officer, or a fire guy's sweater. It was like Columbus Police Department. And he was an off-duty firefighter. So that was that. And you know what? We were like the only people we saw out and about. There was like, we saw only about 15 other people out, and they were kids. It was only 15 people. And you know what I have to say is I think it's disgusting. People need to get back out and trick or treat. They need to get candy. They need to shriek trick or treat at people's faces, and then they need to get candy. And if they don't get good candy, like if they get like sugar daddies, sugar daddies are rock hard popcorn balls. They need books. Just tip over that pumpkin. No, don't do that. I'm joking. But anyway, nobody was out trick-or-treating. So I just want to say, stop trunk-or-treating.
Yeah!
I know it's safe, but it's not. Because you're getting the most possible candy with the least possible... Trunk-or-treating is the act of going to a parking lot where other cars are with their trunks open.
Disgusting.
And people sit out with lawn chairs and hand out candy out of the trunks of their cars. Trunk-or-treating.
Wow, I've never seen that.
You walk around in a parking lot.
I'll wheel you over there.
Well, I know about this because I've actually been to one. Churches often do these because it's like the church parents are like, we don't want our children going out at night trick-or-treating. Yeah, and then it's people from the congregation, so... the parents feel safe about it. And I went to one, and the people actually, like, dressed up their trunks, where they, like, put, like, fabric and then, like, flashing lights, and they dressed up, and it was really creepy. But, yeah, back to Jackson. It's really stupid.
Philip, do you want to go?
I've never heard about this until now, but I still feel the need to say something because, as far as I know, this has gone on enough. Even if this is the first time it's ever gone on, it seems like an abomination. It should be put to an end, and I don't like it. I'm not very fond of it at all. Okay, that's all I wanted to say.
So, here is Nick.
I don't like trunk-or-treating, but people have the right to do whatever they want. So if you want to do it, don't try to stop people. Join them. If you can't beat them, join them.
Well, at least it's not like they open their car doors up and invite you to come inside for candy. Because I'd rather get candy out of a trunk than out of someone's, you know, seat.
You know that van that says free candy on it? This is the only time that's legit.
Hi, I'm Alex Deneme.
My favorite Halloween candy is Snickers. I like Snickers. Tastes good. My least favorite is candy corn. Gets stuck in your teeth and it's nasty.
I'm Jackson, and my least favorite Halloween candy is the people that hand out healthy snacks. You people who hand out healthy snacks, you're not cool. You're not cool. Who do you think you are, depriving me of my artery-clogging Snickers and Twix? My favorite candy isn't actually candy. It's scaring people behind my bushes, and that's like candy to me. Scaring people just jumping out like, I'm gonna get you. That's candy to me. It tastes sweet. But not like granola bars or oranges. Gah. Or library cards, yeah. What do you think I'm gonna do? Read a book?
An apple.
Yeah. I know, then, and you know if they're giving you apples, they're gonna kill you.
Hi, I am Nick.
My least favorite type of thing to get from Halloween is those popcorn balls that you get in those bags. They're just balls of popcorn glued together. They're so nasty. And my favorites of all time would have to be candy corn.
My favorite candy during Halloween isn't actually candy, it's apple cider, because I always have that during Halloween. And my least favorite is probably the baskets full of what should be candy that are empty. So.
Well, my least favorite, I don't really have one. No, I don't. Never mind. Okay, so, but my favorite candy ever, and if I get it in Halloween, it would be awesome, Fun Dip. Because it's just, it's like two different kinds of candy. It's like powder and a stick. And you eat the powder, but you still have a stick left, which is pretty awesome.
Okay, I'm Sarah, and I'd say my least favorite candy would probably be candy corn, because I don't like it. I used to like it, but it tastes gross now. My favorite candy is probably either Reese cups or something that's not even candy. It's caramel apples with nuts on it because they're really good.
My favorite candy are dark chocolate M&Ms, because when you eat dark chocolate, just like get this feeling of happiness. Does anyone else get that? Mm-hmm. Just like suddenly happy. It's awesome. Huh? Yes, and my least favorite candy was malts or Whoppers, whatever those are. Those are, like, so gross. Why do people even eat those? They're, like, old people candy. I don't even know what... It's gross.
Okay. I'm Yehui, and my favorite candy would either be Twix or Snickers, and my least favorite is Almond Joys.
I like my dark chocolate, and that's about it. I occasionally get a tub of whipped cream and dip it in that. It's really good. It's really good.
Favorite candy? I can't really say. That changes like every day. But I will tell you what. That candy, I don't know if it still exists. I hope it doesn't. But it's like only comes in orange and black. And it's in that waxed paper. And it's like this little circular, like cylindrical thing.
Like Mary Jane.
And it's wrapped on the edges, kind of like Tootsie Roll. But it's like a little cylinder, a little flat, fat, short cylinder of disgusting. Like, I don't know if it's supposed to taste kind of like peanut butter or what they are. Do you know what I'm talking about?
It's like
about?
Mary Jane's.
They're so gross.
Mary Jane candy, I think, but it's like they just make it for Halloween. Like
really?
Orange and black ones.
But old people, like real grammies and grampies,
yeah.
Don't give them out anymore. Grandma, spare me. They're gross. Thank you.
I was also going to say that exact candy, but for some reason I was going to, because it is, the taste is like a Mary Jane. But so even either getting Mary Jane candy, which is like peanut butter, this weird peanut candy that is not very good. Yeah, or the black and orange ones that are not very good. My favorite candy, I haven't gone trick-or-treating in a very long time. I have not gone in a very long time. But at where I grew up, one of the things, we would try to go to the really fancy neighborhood, and the kind of people have some money. Not a lot of people trick-or-treat around there. So they always have full-size candy bars. So anybody that had the full-size candy bar, you had to map it out. Like, we were very smart when it came to trick-or-treating. So you had to make sure you hit it up because you get the full-size Hershey or the full-size Snickers or something. But, yeah, if we're just talking candy in general, I'm a Swedish Fish Sour Patch kid. But combo. The combo. One-in-one combo.
Now, my favorite candy is not Halloween candy because it's Peeps, which you give out on Easter. Those little birds, those marshmallow birds. Everyone seems to hate those, but I love those more than anything. Well, I love a couple things more than Peeps, but they're pretty good. And my least favorite candy would have to be Silly Putty, because, I mean, not silly, is that what it's called? No, not Silly Putty, dang. Laffy Taffy, that's what it is. Laffy Taffy. No, no, it's like, I don't like it because it's like Silly Putty, whereas it sticks to everything, and I have it in my couch, and it looks like vomit. And I can never get it out of the package because it sticks to it. Yeah, it's pretty bad. That's all I have to say.
Laffy Taffy. I'm Daniel, and my favorite Halloween candy would probably have to be the Three Musketeers. It's just fluffy and so good, you can't get anything better. And then my least favorite would probably have to be Twix. You get two pieces. It's not, because it's crunchier. Twix are so much crunchier. I hate Twix. So, I don't want to break off a... No, that's Kit Kat.
I'm Gabby. And pretty much, like, my favorite thing around Halloween, and I count this as candy, is pretty much anything that's pumpkin flavored. Which... So I go out and buy, like, pumpkin coffee and pumpkin tea and pumpkin bread. And there's, like, oh, pumpkin Pop-Tarts? Yes. And there's pumpkin muffins, too. So, yeah, I really like pumpkins. And my least favorite would be, raisins. Yeah.